Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we just come before you once again. We need your intervention in our spirit so that we can receive your word and become built by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue with our series on sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. And I keep on saying this is very, very crucial. It's a law that you cannot violate. You'll get the consequences violating it. It's a natural law. It's a natural law. And it's a law that can be practiced by anybody, whether a Christian or believer or unbeliever. It's a natural law. So I need you to understand that. Amen. And the main text again is Genesis 8 verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again cause the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's eyes, even from his youth, neither will I again. I'm reading Genesis 8, 21. Smite anymore everything living as I have done. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, Genesis 8, 22. While the earth remaineth, seed and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. Praise God. And last week I tried to talk to you on one of the channels by which you do your sowing and reaping, and I tried to explain to you Galatians 6 and verse number 6. And but now take again 2 Timothy 2 verse number 6. 2 Timothy 2 verse number 6. There's a few there, you got to be fast with me. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Amen. Let's take it from the Amplified Translation. 2 Timothy 2 verse number 6. It is a hard-working farmer who labors to produce, who must be the first partaker of his fruit. The hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer. Now, he's saying this in relation to the minister. Is that okay? Are you there with me? Hard-working farmer who must first be partaker of the fruit. By implication, if I work hard to build you spiritually, I should be forced to partake of the fruit that is coming out of your engagement in your life, in terms of your business, even your spiritual life. I should be first be partaker. If you look at the scripture, sometimes it's very funny when you look at this. People say, what do you mean, David? You see, the scripture says, seek for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of that need to be added. Now, I will touch that. 1 Kings chapter 17, what happened to the widow of Zarephath? He had a last meal to eat. And what's the next thing that happened? Elijah got there and said, go get me the meal. In other words, this is the last thing we have to prepare. Say, yes, prepare it, give to me first before yourself. Give to me first before yourself. Understand the principle. It's very key. Go with me to Isaiah 32 verse 20. Isaiah 32 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth further the feet of the ox and the axe. Okay, take it from Amplified Translation. Amplified. Hallelujah. Happy and fortunate are you who cast your seed upon all waters when the river overflows its banks. For the seed will sink into the mud, and when the waters subside, the plant will spring up. You will find it after many days and reap an abundant harvest. You who safely sent for the ox and the donkey to rate freely. Hallelujah. And let me give you a background to this passage. In Palestine, actually River Nile, when the water comes up and goes down, you have a similar thing, I think, that river by, if you are going to the hospital, you're crossing that bridge, that river goes up and down before the San Felipe, by the primary school there, you have that thing going on. So this is what they do. They first send the donkeys to mash the place when the water has gone down. They send in the donkey, just walk around it. They are creating holes now. You understand that? And then what's the next thing they do? They come in and throw the seed there on those holes. The water comes in and recedes. Now, you know, rice grows in marshy area. Good. So that's what it's teaching now. So you do all of that. You are sowing your seed. You are not thinking about it. Now, here I send the donkeys to trash the place, to match up the place. You know what I'm trying to say now? What it means now is you send the minister out to proclaim the gospel. You will send it out, the minister, to proclaim the gospel, and then he's sowing the seed into your life. You end up harvesting because you first of all send a donkey to march around the area, and then you cast your seed. Praise the living God. Now he's saying the man who does that is going to be a happy man. By implication, you can't be tired of well doing. Sow seed. You don't know when the harvest will come. You don't even know the one that will produce the harvest. Don't be tired of sowing seed. Actually, I had a very big issue. If I may use the word issue. I was telling my wife, I don't want to do anything. I'm sorry I'm saying this, but I was telling her, I don't want to do anything for anybody anymore. Because of what somebody did. You know, what I was expecting from the person, I was highly disappointed. Then I said, I don't want to invest in anybody anymore. I have to say that. I felt it terribly. Because I know what investment I made in that person's life. But when I start studying, when I start praying, the Lord is saying, that's not for you. That's not what I call you for. That's not the life I've given to you. That's not your nature. Irrespective. And when I start studying and look at this scripture, it makes no difference. Who wants to reciprocate? It makes no difference. Now, sometimes it's not even the people we invest in that get back to us. Do you understand this now? So, I've already repented. I've already spoken to God. I said, God, I'm sorry. I've already asked God to forgive me of that thought. But I felt it so badly. I felt it so badly. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, the Hebrew translation in this part, when you use the word besides sea waters, actually means upon, like you find in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. Where the meaning is, cast thy seed upon many waters. When the river overflows its bank, the seed will sink into the mud and will spring up when the waters subside. And you will find later plenty of what? Harvest. That's what it means. Where you cast in your seed, you can't tend them. You can't pin them to any spot. No. You just keep casting. Do good. I want to tell you again. So, there is a place for what? For harvest. Hallelujah. Before sowing the seed, you send the ox into the water, tread the grounds for sowing. Hallelujah. And that is what you do with partnership. Partnership is sending the horse to tread the field that you're sowing. I tried to mention that to you before. Not everybody can go to the mission field, but you can be a missionary by sending a missionary. If you can't go, let your money go. Partner with someone. If you don't want to partner with me, partner with somebody. It's vitally important. Your harvest comes when you least expect it. It comes from different ways. Because you are joining with Christ in propagating the gospel of the kingdom on the face of the earth. As you partner with people who are going on with the message. If you don't want to partner with me, fine, no problem. Make sure you partner with somebody. Why? Because we must get the gospel across to all nations. The Bible said the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the water does what? Cover the sea. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, go with me to Matthew 10 verse number 41. Matthew 10 verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a reward of a prophet, or a prophet reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man, the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, all in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose what? His reward. He that received a prophet in the name of a prophet, can I tell you something? This is not foretellers. This has nothing to do with people who see visions. Go back and study it. It's talking about the teachers of the word, the proclaimers of the good news. Are you there with me? Let me show you something that will help you now. I will come back here. 2 Timothy 1:11. 2 Timothy 1:11. Hallelujah. Well, it's my appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, if you look at that word preacher, if you take time to look at it, first of all, it means proclaimer. But these are three major ministries that an individual, in fact, Jesus sent this out in the book of Matthew chapter 23. He said, I send unto the prophet, the wise men, and the scribes, and you kill them. These are the three foundations that the church is built upon. Now, the word preacher there actually is talking about a prophet. Now, this is exactly what happened. I was sharing with somebody recently. That's why we're getting confusion in the body of Christ. Why do we get confusion today? You see, people come in with what they call revelation, or something that they call a mystery. Every revelation or mystery you have must be decoded. Let me give you an example. Moses is known as a prophet. Now, he saw the tabernacle, the heavenly pattern, and we are made to understand he has to come down here and structure the tabernacle. So, what it means is, if God calls you as a prophet, you can see visions of God's mind. With your apostolic grace, you build the structure you saw in the heavens. With your teaching grace, you break down the laws or the patterns or the system that will enable people to assimilate and assess what you receive from the Spirit. So Moses saw the pattern. With the apostolic spirit, he built the tabernacle in the wilderness. With the teaching ministry, he established the laws with which people can walk. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what I'm reading to you from Matthew have nothing to do with people that see vision for people. Jesus is talking about his messenger that will go forth to proclaim his gospel. So he's actually talking about the teachers of the word. Most teachers, if you're in the early times, they were referred to as what? As prophets. In fact, they are to be called prophetic teachers, because they teach the mind of God ahead of time, sometimes of their ages. Praise the living God. So he will receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet reward. Okay. Remember, he will send out a prophet in the morning to proclaim and warn the people, the early times. All right. So here, the example I want to give to you here is 1 Corinthians 17. You know the story now, like I said before. The issue of the woman, the widow of Zarephath. What was the reward that she got for listening to the prophet, for receiving the prophet? It was not that she became a prophet. So it's not like what people talk about, I'm sowing seed to tap. You don't tap into anybody's anointing. You can only open up a channel of your life by sowing into somebody's life. The grace in your life is opened up. Your life that is sealed is opened up when you sow into somebody's life that carries grace. The person's grace unlocks your grace, not that you become like that individual. It's a lie. Is anybody following what I'm saying here? The Bible already told us He calls some apostles, he calls some prophets, he calls evangelists. It's a calling. You cannot, because of sowing, become a prophet or become a teacher or an apostle. You can't. That is not how the Bible says it. But if God calls you as an apostle and you sow into an apostolic life, an apostle's life, your own grace can be what? Opened up. If you are called as a teacher and you are struggling to understand scriptures, for instance, and you sow seed into another man's life who carries grace, the grace can open your own grace. Now you begin to see as you ought to see. This woman was indebted. Now she needs to pay her debts. So what happened? She sold into the prophet life and her debt were paid. Not that she became a prophet like Elijah. I don't know if you're getting this. She got a prophet reward. How? By paying off her debt, because Elijah told her, okay, now take your little oil, whatever how the case may be. You remember that? Good. Keep on pouring the oil, and at the end he said, okay, go sell and pay your debts. That's the prophet reward. The word of the prophet unlocked her resources to be able to pay off her debt. She was no longer indebted because she sold into the life of the prophet. There's a sowing and reaping. She sold into the life of the prophet, her debt was what? Cancelled or paid up. She reaped. So into the life of the prophet, you got the reward of the prophet. I don't know if you're getting this. In 2 Kings also, we have a similar story, or even chapter 18. And verse 4, we also have a similar story. In 2 Kings, we have a similar story. Remember the woman of Elisha? The woman with Elisha? Right. That had no child. And the woman said, anytime she sees Elisha passing by with Gehazi, said, "Pastor, that this must be a man of God, and I will bring him in, set a table, give him a candle, whatever, place to read and to study in." Remember the story? By the time they were leaving, they find that the woman was barren. And simply mentioned, "This time next year, you are going to have your child." And we're made to understand that the woman finally had her baby. You know the story, right? Praise the living God. So what was the reward she got? Her spirit of barrenness was what? Broken. Because she sowed into the life of the prophet. So when the Bible says when you sow into the prophet life, you give a reward or a prophet reward, it doesn't mean that you become a prophet or a prophetess. But that sowing will produce a harvest for you. And that harvest would be areas where you have difficulties or problems. So sowing and reaping unlock difficult situations. Sowing seed unlock difficult situations. Whether somebody wants to believe it or not, forget it. This is the scripture. And I'll just give you two typical examples right there. Sowing and reaping unlock. You sow into a man's life, it unlocks difficult situations for you. It breaks down barriers that are erected consciously or unconsciously in your life. It takes it away. So don't joke with the principle of sowing. Don't joke with it. Don't mess with what I'm talking about. This will save your life, somebody. Praise God. Are you following me? Somebody say, are you saying this or sowing into your life? Don't sow into my life. You don't want to. Sow seed is what I'm saying. Look for somebody else that you feel you can sow into and sow your seed. There is a harvest in it. Hallelujah. He that receives a prophet, one divinely commissioned to deliver a message from heaven. Not predicting the future. It's not what we're talking about here. As far as New Testament is concerned, the one that predicts the future is not necessarily the prophet of the New Testament. I've explained that to you before. If you can understand, go read my little book there. Who is the prophet? Hallelujah. He that received a prophet, a teacher, not a future teller of events. Amen? Commissioned by God to teach the doctrines of eternal life. Shall receive the reward of a prophet. In the name of a prophet means the person is in his office. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet means the person functioning as called by God. So if you find a genuine ministry that is staying on the course that God has called that individual for, so see. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So this is a very important place. And then he talks about he that receives a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Amen. Seed of righteousness, who has empathy or sympathy for other people. I need you to understand this aspect of it. He that sows or receives a righteous man in a righteous man reward shall receive the righteous man reward. Who is a righteous man? Every believer is a righteous one. Every Christian is a righteous one. So the way you receive your brother and your sister determines what you also get. It's part of what we're talking about this morning. A lot of people don't understand what the body of Christ is. And so we're unable to receive the brothers in the faith. This is what we're dealing with this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We don't know how to relate to people. We don't know how to relate to those in the body of Christ. He that received a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Who is a righteous man? The believer. Every believer is a righteous man. So how do you receive people? You don't understand that in your receiving your fellow brother with a right spirit, right heart, you have a reward that comes from God. You don't know it. That's a problem. You don't know it, that you can receive your fellow brother in the faith and then you are going to get reward for doing that. That's what we don't know. He that receives a righteous man in the name of Christ shall receive a righteous man's what? Reward. That's what God said. Praise the living God. You will not lose your reward. He said you won't lose your reward for receiving a believer. Hallelujah. And then he went further to talk about, we're not about that. He talks about he that received these little ones. Little ones, talking about the poor among us. Not just this. So you find three categories of people there. Talking about the minister, talking about the saint generally, talking about the low ones among us. He that received them shall in no wise lose your reward. You won't lose your reward for receiving your fellow brother, for receiving those who don't have, and you are ministering to them. Are you following this? Listen, I'm showing you ways that will enable you to overcome certain difficult situations in your life. Some of this thing doesn't need prayers. Some of this thing doesn't require deliverance. The woman that was indebted never required deliverance to overcome her indebtedness. The woman that was barren never required deliverance, fasting and prayer to overcome her barrenness. Her seed unlocked her barren womb. Are you still following this? Hallelujah. So there's a receiving of the prophet, which is the divine instructor, commission teacher. There's a receiving of the saints within the body of Christ. There's a receiving of the low ones who don't even have anything. You can't lose your reward in practicing what I'm teaching you. You can't. Praise the Lord. Somebody sent me a message and said, your message has transformed my life. Your message has brought me to the place where I really have now discovered my true calling in God. And now my church has formally ordained me into missions. And I want to sow a seed into your life. Because through your ministry that I discover who I am. Not in this country. Praise the living God. And he was saying, how can I sow seed into your ministry? I said, check the PayPal account. It's right there. Amen. So, what am I trying to make you understand? I am showing you the path of life. You know, people have said, you don't need God to succeed in life. But you see, that's a low way of thinking. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So whether you are a Christian or not, the principle of success is already made available. And it's still from who? From God. You call it Hermos, you call it Big Gate, whatever. The wisdom they are using, the natural wisdom they are using, is God that made wisdom available. So you need God to succeed, no matter what you're trying to say. The air they are breathing, who made it available? Did they construct it by themselves? What do you read in Deuteronomy 8:18? It is God that giveth the power to get what? That word power means skill, wisdom, understanding. Everything, God gave it to you. So don't tell me you don't need God to succeed. For the rain fall on the just and the unjust. The sun will shine on the just and the unjust. But the skill to live life is made available by who? By God. Whether you are a believer or not a believer. So don't tell me you don't need God to succeed. You need God anytime, no matter who you are. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 37 will tell you, don't be envious about the workers of iniquity, neither because they are prosperous. For they shall soon be cut down and cut down like grass. Have you read that? So you don't have to be jealous about man who is not in faith and is prosperous. You don't have to think along that line to start thinking that God cannot make anybody prosperous. Who says that? What about the life of Job? Was Job an unbeliever? Was Job prosperous or not? Was one of the wealthiest men? Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Because of time, let's look at something very quickly. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Sowing and reaping. You can't miss it. You can't change it. It's a law. Natural law. Just like the law of gravity. There's nothing you're going to do to change the law of gravity. Amen? Except you're going to go out of the inter space. And you know what happens when you go up there? You don't have balance. Hallelujah. You saw the picture, the video of those who walk on the moon and how they were walking. No balance. By reason of the force of gravity. Okay. Luke 6:38. Give. It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaking together, running over. Shall men give into what? Your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure with it shall be measured to you. Let's take it from the Message translation. Hallelujah. Give away your life. Are you there with me? What are you supposed to give? Give away your life. Give it out. You will find it. You find life giving back. But not merely giving back. Giving back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets what? Generosity. You can't rule it out. And Paul will say, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You can't rule this out. It's a natural law. Generosity begets what? Generosity. It's a clear word. It's a clear scripture. Give away your life. You will find life. Remember what he said. Shall men give to your bosom. Men shall in turn give to your bosom. One of the reasons you don't get from people is because you are not giving. You are not generous. You are not a giver. And I've always told you, it's not only money. Give smile to people. Give joy to people. Show mercy to people. Show love to people. Show encouragement to people. Men who are in desperate situation that need counseling, talk with them. You are giving. You are giving. Praise God. So I'm not just talking about money. You got to understand that. Amen? Okay? Hebrews 6 verse number 9. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6, 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we must thus speak. Things that accompany salvation. Part of what I'm sharing with you are the things that accompany the word salvation. Hallelujah. Having been saved, there is a life you are called to live. Things that accompany salvation. Part of the things we've been dealing with in the five crowns of the believers. Amen. Look at verse 10. Things that accompany salvation. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saint and do minister. These are the things that accompany salvation. So it's not enough to be saved. I'm persuaded of those things that accompany salvation. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. To forget your work and your labor of love. Can we take message translation as well? Verse 9. And then we'll come to verse 10 as well. I am sure that will happen to you. Friends, I have better things in mind for you. Salvation things. What's the next thing? God doesn't miss anything. He knows perfectly well all the love you've shown him by helping needy Christians, and that you keep at it. Help needy Christians, and that you keep at it. You keep it and doing it. You've kept it. You are not going to shift from it. That's part of what I was sharing with you that I told my wife. I said, the person I have was a needy Christian, but because of what else, I won't again. But when I start seeing all of those things, I told God, I'm sorry about that. You kept at it. My reward is not going to come from that individual. It's coming from someone else. Hallelujah. Look at that. God doesn't miss anything. He knows perfectly well all the love you've shown him by helping needy Christians. How many people are you helping? I'm talking of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. How many Christians are you helping? How many needy people in your midst are you helping? Think about that. God said he will miss that. He knows it. Hallelujah. Are you there? Look at Proverbs 19 verse 17. Proverbs 19 verse 17. So you're not reaping. He that hath pity upon the poor lended unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Take it from maybe NLT. Oh, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. You can take another translation. He say he will repay you with interest. And that's exactly what it means. When you lend money to money lenders, what happened? If you are a money lender, you lend them money. When they are paying you back, well, they pay you with interest. So that translation is very accurate. I don't know if it is Amplified or any of them. But he said, they pay you back in interest when you help the poor. So look at Hebrews 6:10 and join it with this Proverbs 19:17. Now you understand what I'm saying. That whatever you are doing to people in your midst, to the poor, don't think you are wasting your time. Don't think you are wasting your money. God is going to repay you with what? With interest. That's sowing and reaping. By the time you finish sowing into people's life, the interest finally begins to come. You'll be surprised how things are happening around you. Some of you can literally be delivered from sicknesses just because of your sowing seed. I showed you here the last time, the centurion whose servant was sick even unto death. People ran down to Jesus, said, come and heal this man's servant. What was it? He had built us a tabernacle. See that temple there? He built it single-handedly. No contribution. He built the temple. So you must heal the servants. And centurion said, you don't need to come. Speak the word. My servant shall be healed, for a man under authority, that's somebody like me. Hallelujah. And guess what? The servant was healed. But my question is, what truly healed the servant? It was the temple, the generosity of the centurion. That's what was referenced. God said, remember what he's saying, that God will not miss anything. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. So they reminded him. Hallelujah. King Hezekiah, remember what he did? God, he said, I'm going to die. I have no problem. I am going to die. But remember the things I've done. Remember the temple. Remember this. Whoever told you God forgets your labor of love? Whoever told you that? What saved Hezekiah? God, he reminded God the things he have done. And Hebrews 6 verse 10 came into play. God is not unrighteous to forget what? Your works and your labor of love. He's not unrighteous. And what's the next thing that God did? He sent back Isaiah. Go tell him, I'm giving 15 years more. What gave him 15 years more? The works and labor he has shown towards the name of God. In building the temple, in doing whatever thing he did. What are you investing in? There is an investment for tomorrow. There's a need to invest for tomorrow. I'm not talking of saving money in the bank. There's nothing wrong in saving money in the bank. But when we're talking about sowing and reaping, you must know how to minister to people. You must know how to minister to the saints. You must know how to minister to the household of faith. You must know how to minister to the church where you have been fed, to the saints, to the ministers, to your partners in ministry. You must know how to do that. He, whoever ministers to the poor, lendeth unto who? Unto the Lord. And he shall repay him. There is harvest. So don't think if you are helping poor people, you are wasting your time. No, there is harvest. Hallelujah. Do you know the Muslim world, they understand this law more than the Christians? Huh? Why do even your traditional worshipper, your traditional ruler, well, I mean worshippers, check it. Sometimes you go to them for certain things, they tell you go and do Sarah. You know what I mean by Sarah? Huh? Go and cook food, cook rice, and call people and let them eat. Have you read that? Have you seen that? The same law is what they're applying in the negative supernatural. The same law. They will see vision for you. Go and cook rice, cook beans, call the street people and do party. Some of them, they'll just throw party. They will invite you to the party. Why they are doing the party, you don't know. Maybe a prophet have told them, go and organize a party, cook food and call people, and this your problem is over. Have you not seen it? These are laws of God that they are applying in the negative. And they are getting results because they are following a natural law. The law of sowing and reaping. You can break it. Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So I need to get this fact right, people of God. You can't miss this point. Who are you helping? Who are you assisting? Where are you sowing? Do you sow at all? Do you minister to people at all? So don't forget Matthew that we read before. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the reward of a prophet. And he that receives these saints, the righteous, in the name of a righteous person, shall in no wise lose what? His reward. He that ministers to this little one, you won't miss your reward. But ministering to these categories of people, you will never miss it. The ministry, they know that. The rich men and the not, what do? All these armageries, they feed them. They know why they do what they are doing. They are ministering to the poor, to establish and to continue to control their wealth. You think they don't know what they are doing? They are not foolish. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. So where are the Christians? Now, why people have ministry teaching us now that if you want to succeed in life, sow to people and talk, if you sow to a poor man, you're going to become poor. It's crazy. Which scripture do you have to back that up? Here is a plain scripture telling you here, you minister to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Jesus even said it in his word. The unbeliever do the same thing. Why do you want to throw a party and invite other people who are rich?
So when you want to throw a party, invite those who cannot invite you, because they don't have to invite you. Why? Because you invite those who cannot invite you, God will be the one to invite you to his own party. Praise God, somebody. Did you get this? But we turn all of that around in the name of Christianity? No. Don't be looking for high people to... Do you minister to people? I minister to people. Even yesterday, I sowed some seed to one bishop in this city. I do that. But that doesn't stop me. These are different categories. That is receiving him as a prophet. I have to receive you as a righteous one. I have to receive the poor as a little one. There are three categories of people. But you're not going to tell me, because I minister to the prophet, therefore I can't minister to the poor. No, that is not Bible. Hallelujah. So who are you ministering to? Who is your bishop? I mean prophet. Excuse the word bishop. I'm not trying to categorize anybody. I'm sorry about that. The bishop thing, actually, in the true sense, is the deacon. The deacons, you are the bishop in this house. Hallelujah. You know that, but that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, instead of man desiring to be a bishop, let him be husband and one wife, right? The one desiring to be a bishop, and that's to mean people to serve. And guess what? Timothy was a pastor, and he was ordaining the bishop. So, this is the bishop there. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So, what I'm saying is, which prophet are you sowing your seed into his life? Which saint are you ministering to? Whose responsibility have you taken? I am saying, you minister to the poor, you get the lending of the Lord. God is going to begin to pay you back. God's going to reward you. You'll be able to harvest. So this all it means, sowing your seed without thinking about it. Carry that seed upon many waters, but in many days you shall find it hence. You're going to get it back. Praise the living God. Have I helped you this morning? I'm just trying to make you know how to walk this, your walk of being a Christian. You can't break the law. You can't miss it. Sowing and reaping, you can't miss it. Don't let anybody's revelation take you out of what I'm telling you now. This is the reality of the Christian faith. You want to succeed in his life, you must operate through this principle. No two ways about that. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever, think of what you sow. What do you sow? Do you sow malice? You reap malice. You sow hatred? You reap hatred. I don't think any of that. Don't let anybody's life control you to sow wrong seeds. It's very important. You sow money, you get money. You sow smile, you get smile. I know. Praise the living God. It's whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. By implication, any act you want to put up, consider that's a reward for it. Any action you want to put up, any act at any time, consider that there's what? A reward for it. Don't forget. Sowing and reaping is a principle that runs through life. Amen. Get up. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org, or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.